Hello, everybody, and welcome to Show Hoppers Severance Season 1, Episode 5, The Grim Barbarity of Optics and Design. I'm a somewhat sickly Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Say a secret, quickly.
Secret? Oh, geez. I don't know what you rated this episode. That's not really a secret. No,
that's not a secret.
That's a fact. You know, the other day, I was joking with a friend about, you know the bit that people do when you're supposed to give a waiter or waitress a tip. This, you normally see this on TV. You know, you're supposed to give them a tip, and they just give them like a compliment, or not a compliment, but they say, "Hey, brush your teeth," or something, you know,
right? Yeah,
like that.
Something, yes.
I tried doing that to my friend, but I said, "You have a nice beard."
Okay.
And that's not a tip. That's a compliment.
That's right.
So there. So similar to name of name a secret. I panicked. I'm not very good at that. On the fly.
As did Mark.
Well, you know what might be a secret for now, but we're going to guess it. Our ratings.
Ratings.
Already off the bat. I got to say this out there. They have not met each other off. We said off the island. It's like Lost. I always think about Lost because
I know.
They have yet to meet outside of work the other employees, other than the severed ones. Okay, not Harmony.
Right.
And that's been a big pain point for you. Continues on this episode, and we are now over the hump for the series.
Yeah.
This is 9 episodes this season, so more than halfway. We haven't seen a meaningful meet between Ellie, Mark, Irving, Bert, Dylan.
Yeah.
I guess Miss Casey. I don't know. I think she's severed, but I'm not positive.
I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah. So that already, that's a knock. So you're already going to give this a 9 max. Unless you changed on that. I don't think you did. Beyond that, most of this episode takes place in the workplace. You don't like that, judging by last episode. So you would prefer if... You want more of, seeing the outside world.
You make it sound like I've only criticized the last episode for that, but I feel like I've criticized all except the pilot.
I should make a correction on that. I only say that because the last episode, when I was guessing your rating, I thought you would have disliked the outside sections more than the inside sections, but I was wrong about that. So that more of it's a correction for myself. You have been consistent with that. So those two things are pretty big blemishes for the episode. The blemishes part aside, there's quite a bit of comedy in this episode, right? Rickon's funny, and some stuff related with that. There's some building of relationships here, right? Helly, Mark, you think Dylan, Irving, Bert combo in a way. Burving, is that going to be alive? You can chat about that. Devin, Bert's her baby, and Mark goes there, maybe him and was it Alexa? Is that her name? The nurse or the
I think it was Alexa. I can't remember.
She says in the episode. I think it's Alexa. I have it in my notes later. I think you gave it an 8. I think normally you would have given it a 9, but given the motions, I think you gave it an 8.
Okay. I think you loved everything about it and you gave it a 10. I don't think there's anything here you dislike. I think you don't give a hoot about what's going on outside the office, and they spent an adequate amount of time out there. But I think the time they spent, they liked okay, or you liked okay. I think you really liked Bert and Irving. I think you were really interested in the goat milking, not taking milk from the goats, but rather giving milk to the goats. I think you loved it. 10 out of 10. For you.
10, you got me wrong. Did I get you wrong?
You got me wrong too.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll tell you right now, I gave it a 9.
The biggest
reason why I didn't give it a 10, I did enjoy the episode. I really don't have anything. Here's the blemish of why I did not give it a 10. Nothing was really particularly stand out to me. I struggled to pick a favorite scene.
And that commonly happens when you split the cast up like this. So it's tough to really pull an episode like this off and have it be like the most memorable episode of the season. You know, it's like you're going to remember it, but you're just going to remember it because they were separated. Like that's what you're gonna remember.
Yeah, you remember some of the plot points of it, but
like I will tell you right now, it's been a while since I watched this episode, and I don't remember much about it. So, but I wrote down that I liked it. It was interesting. It was entertaining. I gave it a 9, but I'm not. I just can't give out a 10. I can't give out a 10 until there's more outside the office. I don't want to punish this episode for it because I don't think it's the fault of this episode. I know you would punish this episode for it, but I listened to our coverage from episode 1 and like we were so excited, at least I was so excited about all the possibilities for what they could do outside the office of showing us. They've got at least four people that are severed. If Bert is severed, and I'm assuming Bert is severed.
Bert not severed?
I mean, they haven't confirmed that he is, I don't think, but I guess they haven't confirmed anybody except for Helly and Mark, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess, but yeah, fair point.
But operating under the assumption that Bert, Irving, Dylan, Helly, Mark are all severed, like we have no idea why any one of them wants to be in this place except for Mark.
Yes.
And we're 5 episodes in, and that is unforgivable. I think I can't believe that we're at that point. And the fact that they haven't interacted outside, like that would just be fun. Like that would be the icing on the cake. I gotta know why these people are here. Like I can't believe it. Like it's like, I only know half a character for each of these characters.
This will be a big criticism for me if we end the season without figuring it out. But I'm all right with not knowing for the time being, because I'm getting to know this part of the character, and it'll make it all the more better if and when I get to meet the other end of the character. Get to meet the other end, that will be an annoyance.
So there's only 4 episodes left.
Yes.
So at this point, you'd have to do it at a rate of 1 character per episode. And I don't think they're going to do that.
No, we might not get all of them. That's fine if I don't get all of them. Like Dylan, yeah, whatever. I could hit or miss Dylan.
No.
for the season.
Yeah, not for the season. Because season 2 has to have, like, that stuff I feel like needs to be resolved by the end of season 1. Because, like, I mean, that's what season 1 should be.
No, now we're getting too much in the rail. That could be what season 2 is about, right? The connection between themselves and at the workplace.
Okay, fine. Their connections outside. If they're connected outside, then yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. But I at least want to know the motivation. What, like Petey says in episode 1, we thought that we were monsters. What kind of monster are we that we put ourselves in this, mm-hmm. right? And we don't know about any of them except for Mark.
Oh yeah,
and you and I spent so much time in our coverage of episode 1 talking about what it would take for us to agree to do this, and they have spent just that first episode telling us what it took for one of them to do it. We don't even know why Petey did it. I'd like to know why Petey did it.
I guess here's why I'm not as annoyed about it, which is it's a storyline that it's very similar to Lost. Actually, they've put it on the back burner. Which is, they can, it's not like they've gone over it and they can never go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they haven't touched on it. And so I basically live with the hope that they will touch on it at some point. Like, they will explore it.
So at what point do you become frustrated with it? The fact that they're not doing it?
As long as I'm still entertained by the series, right? Like, if I'm no longer entertained by the series and there's this interesting plot point they could be exploring, but they're not, then I would be very annoyed. I'm like, well, you're doing this crap when, like, this is something else that'd be way better.
I mean, there's a guy milking goats.
That's some sort of, that's got to be a weird payoff setup for something down the line.
I'm hoping so, but like, I don't know. I felt like some of the stuff in this episode got a little shark jumpy when you haven't really done anything with the outies for 4 of the main characters. But I mean, for that matter, I'd like to see what Milchick is like outside this place. Or Grainer.
Oh, they don't leave. No, they don't leave. they're here all the time.
Maybe they're the group that doesn't leave. I don't know. Anyway, I'm done ripping on it for that. within this episode, like I say, I don't remember a ton of what happened in this episode, but I really liked the outside the office stuff. I really liked the everything that happened with Bert Irving Dylan and Halle, or Bert Irving Dylan and I guess Miss what's her name,
a Coble or the, Casey? No.
Yes, Miss Casey. Why can't I ever remember that? I liked what was going on with Harmony and Milchick and Grainer. I don't know that I loved the Mark and Helly stuff once it got goaty.
That got a little abstract
like,
there.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with that.
I liked it up to that point, and then I was like, what the heck? Whatever. I guess we'll have to just trust them to make it right, but I don't feel like they've earned that yet. But anyway, we'll see.
I would say they've done some not interesting a weird plot device like this, but they've explored interesting avenues, and they've done interesting payoffs. When I say that, I'm thinking of all the beginning episode parts where it's Milchick doing in the break room too, but not in the goat style way. I agree with that. They haven't like introduced some really weird element and then explained it later.
I mean, that's a pretty weird thing.
It is very weird. No, they've done nothing that weird. You know what? Something that I'm curious about how you felt about Helly's stuff in this episode, right? So we come off from her trying to hang herself.
Yeah.
Going into this episode, do you feel like her storyline's played out, or are you enjoying it? I've been enjoying the Helly storyline, right? It's a very, I guess, I don't say relatable because I don't know what it'd be like. Cause this would be the severed Kurt, but it's it's someone who's first put into the circumstance, and I think it's a pretty realistic thing that could happen to them. And it's their like that, I don't say deterioration, but like what they're going through. This is ultimately the path she went down, and now I guess her plan didn't work, and now this is what she's going through. And
so I understand why you like it so much, because you pretty much predicted all of it in episode one.
Yes.
Although I feel like that cheapens it a bit. Like if you were able to predict pretty much her entire arc so far through five episodes after season one, then I'm not sure it was all that innovative. But you did say, I'd be like doing self-harm. I'd be doing, you didn't say that, but you said like, we might see self-harm. You said that we might see her, I guess probably the one thing that you predicted that we haven't seen yet is her holding up in the office for days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once, if we see that, which it wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me too. That's why, like, she runs into the halls and tries to hide somewhere.
Yeah, like if we see that, then I don't know that you're either a prophet or this is a very predictable series.
Yeah,
I thought the opening sequence was really interesting. I thought it was interesting how like the response to it. You know, she's in the hospital, but she's coming back. You know, it's her first day back. So show me your kind eyes. like that stuff was really interesting. Putting her on watch was interesting. Mark trying to connect with her was interesting until the goats. But I don't know. Like she's a problem for everybody.
I think you're touching on what I think is interesting about her storyline, which isn't like her herself is not as interesting, but it's how everyone around her is reacting to it.
Because
like that's the really interesting part to me. It's like what's their protocol? What does Mark do in this instance? What does Milchick and Harmony and Grainer do? Has this happened before? Like, is this like a given thing? And that to me is even more interesting. Like, what happens in this environment when that happens? So
right. I mean, she's a problem because if she's draining resources, she's like draining attention. Like, people are not focused on their job right now.
I don't think that's very important. People focused on their job for some reason to me. I know they have a few episodes ago barked at Harmony about her meeting her quota by some time span, but like, I swear most of the time these people are not all working. Now, given maybe like we're seeing a fraction of the workday and they are working a lot for most of it, but it's just it's comical. I don't know. I feel like they're not working a whole lot. They probably are, but
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they are.
But, it doesn't seem like it.
But though. Harmony does seem stressed by the fact that they're not. I mean, it's like she's got to solve that problem. She's got to get them working again. You know, it's interesting because they can't get rid of her. Like you can't. Can you fire her? Like that's an interesting thing that we haven't really talked about. Can they fire Helly?
I don't see why they can't. I can't see why. I don't see why not. Why can't they just go to Audi Helly and be like, "You're not welcome here. You're any two out of control."
Right.
So then, it goes a few. It's like, so why don't they just give up on this Helly and go for someone else? Is it hard to get people for this job? Is there a specific like thing that necessitates people to have this job? Do people just not want to get severed? Like, it's really hard to give it to people to get severed. And like, that brings up a whole other.
What if she's a really important person outside? Like, what if she's like the boss outside?
She ain't they can't.
The majority owner outside.
Yeah. It's for some reason they literally just can't let her go.
Yeah.
Audi Helly would not stand that behavior.
Exactly.
Who knows?
I mean, who does know? I don't know. I was thinking about your comments about pregnancy too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they can have anybody getting pregnant, because even if you say you have paid maternity leave and pregnancy leave, like when you get back, say, "Oh, you were gone for 2 years, man, 2 years, welcome back." Like, what's the person's probably going to naturally assume, "Oh my God, I had a baby."
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I have a family on the outside that I was just ignoring.
That's pretty true. I mean, you're right. They will just find out, wouldn't they, by the 2 year, like the time mark.
Yeah.
Unless you like, no, there's really no way you can swing that. The only way you can swing it is you go, "We're going to transfer you, your department." And so then you take her out of one department. She goes. Yeah. She leaves for like a year or two to have her kid and maternity leave. Comes back, and they put her in the new department and don't tell her the time. You know, jump.
Right.
Oh, that's that's the only way I can see swinging that.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's an interesting idea. But anyway, so like, man, I really feel like I'm railing on this episode. I'm not, and I don't mean to. This is a fun episode. It's good.
Well, let's talk about something that you might enjoy. Hearing about, which is the painting. How Bert, Dylan, and Irving kind of figure out that they're getting pitted against each other, and Milchek purposely prints that in front of Irving. How did that make you feel? You basically printed, because this last episode of the one prior, I forget which one, or podcast prior.
What did I predict?
You predicted that they purposely tell them negative things and positive things about their department and negative things about the other
each other. Yes. Yeah, because they're trying to keep the departments separate so that when there is a pregnant woman, they can move her to a different
department. Maybe to keep them more productive and other stuff.
Yeah.
So you were pretty spot on with that.
I was pretty spot on with that. So, I mean, it made me feel good to be, you know, kind of spot on with it. But it also probably diminished my enjoyment of the episode, because I was not – I assume there's supposed to be some shock value to that. And there wasn't for me. That's exactly what I was expecting. So I don't know.
The macro data refinement calamity.
Right. Yes. What I did like about it was that Milchek intentionally sent that to the printer. Oh, that was pretty cool.
He's so I think it's pretty cool how I shouldn't say cool. It's interesting how manipulative they are.
Yeah.
Especially Harmony and Milchek. Mr. Gaynor, I don't really see him being as manipulative. He's just kind of a fixer.
Right.
Culprits-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting that he sent those there just so that Irving would be a little more put off by Bert.
To get it in his head.
Yeah.
The
grim barbarity.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we can guess each other's favorite scenes.
Okay.
Favorite scenes.
We already talked about during our ratings part. It's kind of hard to pick a favorite scene in this episode. I don't know.
It is.
I struggled immensely too.
I did too.
Okay, good. So you did too. I'm gonna go with, since you like, you're not a person, you don't like being at work. You hate work, really.
Is that right? That's not true.
I do laugh.
By the way, one of the reasons why it was hard for me to pick a favorite scene in this episode is that, like, this is the shortest episode so far.
It is. It's only like 40 yeah. something minutes. Low 40s.
Yeah, and I counted like 21 scenes. So this is a lot of short scenes. There's not like a big meaty scene anywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. maybe one or two, but
so similar to me saying you like double dipping last week.
I'm Which saying, I don't.
Yeah, you like
quad. Although I shouldn't say that. I think everybody really would prefer to double dip.
And now the mask slips up.
They just don't want anybody else double dipping. Like, I want to double dip, but I don't want you to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's if you ever own sauce, of course you can double dip, right? I'm double. Yeah. I'll dip as many times as I want. I guess exactly. The connotation is, you know, when you're sharing dip,
yeah,
that's when you're labeled a double dipper. No, right. You are right about that.
Yeah, and do I want to double dip? Absolutely. I'm not going to, though. I'm not a monster.
You know, you'll quadro dip. That's last week's, though. That's last week's. But this one, so that's the negative thing I said about you last week. This week is you hate work.
But I don't, folks.
But you don't. He really doesn't. But, so you like the outside parts. Ergo, and so to couple that, this is more of a positive, you have kids.
Yes, I do.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So presumably, they were born. And so that means I think your favorite scene, because you love your kids. Presumably,
they were born in a ski lodge.
Well, not in a ski lodge, but you love your kids, right?
I do.
So, you know, deducing from that, you must love the days your kids were born. So, you must have memories of that when Mark arrives to the ski lodge cabin to see Alexa, Devin, and Rickon. That's your favorite scene. It brought back fond memories.
Where do you draw the line on that scene?
I'll ask you that. Do you consider him talking to Alexa a separate scene?
I do.
Okay, darn. Okay, then not including that part and when he walks in then. So Rickon, Devin, and Mark.
When okay. he first You know what? In. No, I didn't in my I'm looking at my notes right now. I did count Alexa as the same scene as that.
All right.
But I split it once Devin left.
That's fine. I did too, because then it cuts to Devin. Yeah. I think they go to Hank Kelp and that obviously, but then yeah, right. she once yeah I agree with that. Yeah, so that whole bit, that's your favorite okay. scene.
The before the kelp hanging.
That ends at the kelp hanging. But,
okay, so wait a minute.
Okay, no. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm being. You're right. He says, "Let's hang some kelp." Do you even want me to explain? Then it cuts to Devin outside.
All right.
And then we come back to them hanging. So yeah, that part before we see Devin outside.
Okay. All right. So from the time Mark gets there to the time Devin or to the time.
Well, listen.
After Devin leaves, they cut away. So before we see Devin in the cabin.
Yes.
In the other cabin.
Yes. But before okay. now I want to try to see if I can rule his lawyer a little bit more into it. How about when can we include when Mark gets out of work and he's getting the voicemails and he's driving over?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
That's actually.
All right. I didn't originally. So no, okay. we'll lump that in then. So that whole tune shebang is your favorite tune. Because it brings back fond memories.
All right. I think your favorite scene, I have really no idea. I'm shooting blind darts here.
I don't know for you either.
I think it's the error card that they find in Optics and Design. It's the variant, the art variant, when they discover that there's the same exact painting with different badges.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess Dylan finds it, right?
Yeah, Dylan gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, but meanwhile, Bert and Irving are bonding and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's I think, your favorite
scene. Irving, yes. I am very pro-Irving, but no, not my favorite scene. Did I get you right?
No, you didn't.
I really thought. I guess that just means you don't love... I'm not going to say that.
No, don't say that.
I won't say that. My favorite scene was, and again... You could probably persuade me to pick another favorite, or like, there's not a whole lot here, favorite scene wise, for me to pick through. I ended up picking Mark reading through Rickon's book early on in the episode.
The montage
and all those little quotes and quibbits.
Yeah,
very funny. And it's just,
it was.
And the comedy part of it aside, like, I'm hearing it, thinking how comedic it is. Oh, I guess on the lines, right? some of these are just paraphrased, but it was not me who was wrong, but the literature itself. It's a society with festering workers cannot flourish, just as a man with rotting toes cannot skip. This is paraphrased. What separates man from machine? Well, most importantly, they are made of metal, whereas man is made of skin.
Also, machines are made of metal. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. At the center of industry is dust.
Bullies are nothing but bull and lies. And there's more serious ones, too. Like, fight for the freedom of the soldier next to you. If you are contorting to fit into a system, recognize if perhaps you or the system should change.
They kind of crucify if your hand is a fist.
So some of them are pretty comedic. But, like, yeah. We talked about last episode how books of them are, like, holy scripture.
Oh,
like,
sure.
The way they talk about the handbook, they quote here. They even have, in, you know, this religious allegory sense, Irving's more of a traditionalist, like, book reader.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Burt is more of the idea and thought versus the literal writings. So Mark reading Rickon's book is like him reading like a forbidden literature that is kind of
or is it forbidden, or is this something that I mean it's down here is I guess everything that's down here is supposed to be down here,
and it's written it's addressed to him.
Yeah,
but listen, the rules state in the handbook you're supposed to report all books, only read the handbook, right? So I think it is
right,
forbidden.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. If it wasn't forbidden, he wouldn't be reading it in secret. So he knows. True. He knows that he's not supposed to. But
Dylan, too. Dylan's reading it, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's... And, oh, by the way, I'm going to say this to you. At some point, they're both going to, like, exercise some train of thought from this book. Yeah. And both realize they've been reading it. That's
gonna happen. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, maybe they'll catch each other. But I think that's how they're going to figure it out. Maybe one of them will even quote it. Because they always quote the handbook.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I think that's what's going to happen, is what they will quote it. They won't accredit it when they quote it. Yeah. They'll say it, and they'll both know, oh, dear. He's been reading it, too. But no, this is a great scene. This is really cool. So, and you can see why Mark and Dylan might start seeing this as scripture, as something that they start to, I don't want to say worship necessarily, but... you know, model their life after. Yeah. So
rules to follow, or like ideals to think about or adhere to. So it's not only is it a funny scene, but it's interesting, and it's going to change them up moving forward. Like Mark is trying to reach out more to Helly, you know, talk about he's remaking a map that's against the rules. He's kind of going against the edge here, right? Or going against the rules. This book's probably helping him with that, right? And Dylan he's never really seemed to care too much for the religious aspect or the handbook aspect, but I don't think this book's going to put him back that way anymore. So this is probably a very big turning point for these characters, reading this book and changing their ideals. So that's why this is my favorite scene.
That's cool. No, I like that scene too. It was very good. I love a good montage. We know this.
Yes.
It is known. So, okay. All right, my favorite scene was me being right. So it was when Bert tells Irving and Dylan that there's a rumor that they have pouches and their larval young eat and replace them. So I like that because it's like okay, so this is nefarious. Pitting one office against the other. So now we know that none of these offices trust any of the other offices. It's not just optics and design that have the bad reputation. It's everybody. So they're distant physically, and they are there's an intentional wedge driven between them. And Dylan tries to drive a wedge between Irving and Bert here. Are you sweet on this guy? which is interesting because I mean Irving probably has had thoughts about it, but they haven't been vocalized, right, to anybody else other than maybe Bert. So the fact that it's obvious to Dylan probably will be impacting Irving somehow. So anyway, this one's my favorite scene.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And do you think Bert was really working on a joke in there?
Oh yeah. I do too. I think that's exactly what he was doing.
And then he lands it. That's why you're so youthful, Irvin. You've been eaten and replaced.
Exactly. So yeah. So yeah. Those are the favorites.
All right.
I did think about picking the scene you guessed for me as my favorite scene because I really do. I am so invested in what's going on outside the office, and I'm just constantly disappointed with how little time we spend outside the office. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's go see what we could consider our magic mind moment.
The magic mind moment.
Mr. Sal, we probably have picked the same scene here, didn't we?
I don't know. I actually had two that, so you can go ahead.
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, and in that case, I think I've picked what is clearly the best magic mind moment here.
I'm probably.
There's a second one I thought about, but I mean, I'll go with the best one. Devin getting some coffee.
Clearly, there you go.
Clearly, you know, come on, right? This is a. Yeah. So, actually, before I even go into this, I do want to ask you real quick. Is this commonplace? I never really thought about, like, when women are giving birth.
Yeah.
Like, beforehand, they get up and decide to go do something. I'm not saying they go get a cup of coffee, but, just, you know, getting up and walking around even.
Yeah, so. Yes, it is. So I will tell you that the day that my first child was born, quick story about this, because I don't want to bore people with birth stories, but I had stayed up very late to finish a book because I knew once the baby was born, I wasn't going to be reading much. So I stayed up until 1 a.m. finishing this book. I did finish it. But then at 3 a.m, 2 hours later, my wife woke me up. She said, "I think it's time." I said, "No, no, it's not.
It can't be."
but it was, in fact. But we, you know, we called the doctor at 3 a.m, and the doctor said, how far apart are your contractions?" And we told him, I don't remember what it was, but we told the doctor, and this, he said, "You got some time. Just, you know, take a shower, hang out around the house, walk around a bit, do some stuff. Come in, you know, in like 3 or 4 hours." We're like, "Really?" He's like, "Well, yeah. I mean, you're just going to be waiting around in the hospital. Like, you probably would be more comfortable doing all that stuff at home." I was like, "All right." So yeah, this is actually a thing that, you know, before the contractions get too close together, they do have you up walking around and doing stuff. So
no, you know, that is both scary and comforting when, like, a professional, like, when and not just for doctors and stuff, maybe a mechanic or. Sometimes in IT work, some stuff like this, where it seems you don't trust it, but the professionals tell you, "Hey, don't sweat this. This is nothing to worry about. Like, do this." Just like, okay, you're saying this, all right? Like, I, you're the professional here.
Yeah, exactly.
In either case, Devin gets up and goes to get some coffee. Which, listeners, for reference, Magic Mind, it's a productivity shot. Both me and Mr. Sal take it. It gives you nice, prolonged energy. With just half a cup's worth of caffeine, a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine. We both take it. Mr. Sal takes it after lunch, so like around afternoon or noonish time. Mm-hmm. I take mine in the morning with a cup of coffee, so you can put it as an additive, but it really helps to prolong that energy. It makes you feel more relaxed, creative, really just ready to get stuff done. Devin's instance, really, since she's about to give childbirth, could probably help with the stress of that, I imagine.
Right,
probably,
yeah.
Very stressful. So that's my magic mind moment.
Yeah.
Instead of
there's
coffee.
There's turmeric and ashwagandha in there for less stress. You know, it's, yeah. And honestly, they tell you now, this is a shift, because they did tell pregnant women no coffee for a long time. It was, really? You know, you're pregnant, no coffee. That has shifted. So they can, pregnant women can drink coffee now, not a ton though. Like, I think they tell you know, limit yourself to 1, maybe 2 cups in a day. So for Devin to go next door to get coffee, now I don't know how much coffee she's already had, but she's probably better off getting Magic Mind anyway.
Yeah, don't lose caffeine.
Yeah, exactly. So I think she'd be much better off with the Magic Mind. And actually, you know, she should probably get some to Rickon too, because he seems very stressed.
Really, a lot of people in the scene could be using it. It's a stressful time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, these are gads of reasons for these people to be drinking Magic Mind, and all good reasons. I'll just throw one more thing out there quickly. We get another Irving episode of dozing at the computer. So, of course, you know, the same thing happened in episode 2. We had a Magic Mind moment for it there, too. And I'll throw it out there again now. Like, this is why why I drink Magic Mind. Because in the afternoon, after lunch, I could be walking around the room teaching and fall asleep while walking around the room. But especially on pizza day, oh my God, forget it.
Forget about it.
But I consistently take a shot of Magic Mind before I eat my lunch, and it helps so much with this afternoon slog that that Irving is going through here. I don't have any interest in seeing this black goo that Irving sees. And so
the black goo is concerning.
So if Magic Mind keeps me from seeing the black goo after lunch, I'm happy to keep imbibing right before lunch.
So listeners, if you want to get yourself some Magic Mind, you can go to magicmind.com/KNS20. It's also down in the show notes. You can go there and you'll get 20% off your order, anything you order. If you get a subscription, you get up to 56% off, and you can use our promo code KNS20. Again, that'll be down in the show notes, so check it out. And thank you to Magic Mind for supporting the podcast.
Who said it?
Who said it, Mr. Sal?
I'm dead. I'm so dead.
Why are you so dead?
Because it's been a while since I watched this episode.
Oh, good, good, good.
I'm so dead.
These are not the kindest quotes I've picked out for you. These are...
No, I didn't figure... I figured after the last episode we recorded,
you'd
be out for blood this time. Even though you went 5 for 5 in that episode, I'll point out.
Actually, that's not a spoilers anymore. Yeah, listen... Walked into the lion's den, came out with the fur coat. What can I say? Yes.
Oh, I know.
Right. But now maybe you could do the same here. I have 3 quotes for you because I don't believe in inflation. 3 quotes.
You don't believe it exists, or you don't believe that you should do it?
No, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
I'm not going to let you peg me down on something there. I said my statement. Right. I left it there. So I'll start off with quote number 1. Actually, I'll tell you this. There's 3 quotes. The last one is one of the veritable difficulty ones that I like doing. So if you're doing bad, I'll throw you a bone.
I'm going to be doing bad.
If you're doing good, though, it's going to be pretty hard.
Okay.
Or you know what? If I'm in the mood, maybe it'll be very hard. But okay. Here we go. Quote number 1. I'm peachy.
I don't know.
I imagine it's been a while since you've seen the episode. This would be a lot harder.
Oh my God, I'm PG. What? Oh boy, let's see. This sounds like a snarky, sarcastic thing that Hallie would say after she's back from having almost died. Does Mark ask her how she's doing there? And then she says, I'm peachy. Or I'm betting this is Helly to Mark. Now I'm trying to decide if it's when she first gets off the elevator or when they're walking alone in the hallway. I'm going to say it's when they're walking alone in the hallway after they duck away from Miss Casey.
I'll give you half credit. It is Helly that says it, but it's to Miss Casey. The specific moment is she's at work. I she's like rubbing her eye, like picking at her hair or something. And Miss Casey starts writing stuff down and like she makes a comment about that, and she asks how she is, and she says, I'm peachy. So that's what she says.
All right.
That is the moment there.
I will take that half point.
you could have the half point. Talk a bit more about that scene. This is right as she's coming back to work. So we get to hear Irving and Dylan's thoughts as to how they could help. Hallie integrate back. Irving, as per his character, thinks they could hide quotes of Keir from the handbook.
Which inspirational.
Which I think is pretty hilarious if you just hit quotes. Inspirational quotes all about. Dylan, Maybe she needs some incentive rewards. We could loan her like a Chinese finger trap.
Not just a finger trap, Kirk. Come
just
on.
Okay, sorry. My bad. Miss Casey.
They don't even know what China is down here.
Do they? You're right. They don't know America, do they?
I don't know. They know Delaware.
Do they?
Well, oh, Ellie does.
Yeah,
Ellie
you're right. Delaware. Through the state. So surely they know about China, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know where that. And this gets into listen. This type of questions could anger me about this series. This gets into the meta stuff. How do they
sever
their memory specifically this way? And blah, 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 blah. Whatever.
Well, I don't care about the how. I would like to know the what. What exactly do they retain? But whatever.
Delaware. Maybe that's by design. They only make sure they remember Delaware.
Well, and maybe because
that's like a test.
Is this in Delaware? Are they located in Delaware?
Maybe not even. You remember you guess Pennsylvania based on
Well, yeah, because Mark's plaque says Scranton, but that doesn't. I mean, Scranton is not all that far from Delaware. I don't think.
Well, I could see this being during the quiz part when they say to name a state. What if they got rid of and part of the severance process? They can prune out knowledge to such a degree they get rid of every state but Delaware, so it's kind of a test for them to see if they've properly done it, because if you say any other state then they've messed up.
Right, exactly. And I think there's a chance that this whole thing is set in Delaware. I don't know,
could be. Anyway. Listen, a lot of corporations incorporated in Delaware,
because really,
yes, I think most more than 50% of the Fortune 500 companies that are in the U.S. are incorporated in Delaware. They're very just because if you go to corporate lawsuits or something, Delaware is pretty it favors corporations a lot, which is why they do that. And other there's other benefits why, but it's kind of similar how Ireland is worldwide for countries to set up there. Delaware is like that for the states.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Yeah, so form a corporation. You can do it in Delaware, or even if you live in New York. It's probably not worth it for you to do it because it would cost you. But yeah,
I don't plan to. I was wrong, by the way, when I said the Scranton's not that far from Delaware. Scranton's quite far from Delaware. But
who knows how far?
I mean, it's still the Northeast, though. The Mid-Atlantic, I guess. So it's very possible that he's from Scranton and now works in Delaware. So who knows?
And yeah, so whatever. There's the scene. Next quote. You're at half a point right now. Weird energy about.
That one I do know. Okay. That one, I think it's Dylan, but hold on. Let me think about this some more. Because this is...
So confident, but immediately backs right off.
I have no confidence about any of these quotes, but I remember hearing this quote. So I remember the setting. I know it's in the office. I know it's when somebody's leaving, and I think it's when Mark is leaving with Helly after he spills coffee on Miss Casey. I'm just trying to pin it down. My notes aren't helping me, so I'm just going to go with that. Dylan says it to Mark when he leaves with Helly.
Spot on.
All right.
Good job. Yes, that is exactly right. He spills the coffee. She goes distribution supply. It's an 8-minute round trip. Mark will watch Helly, and then the second she leaves, him and Helly go to get extra pen caps. That's when Dylan tells him, "Watch out, weird energy." About.
I think it's really funny that they have just pen caps.
Very organized.
Just hold pens. I don't think I've ever seen any place where I could just get pen caps, not hold pens.
Not well, you haven't worked in office supplies then, Mr. Sal, clearly.
I guess not. I've been to office supply stores. I've never seen a box of pen caps.
Well, you're not looking in the right place then.
Do you have any down in your office where you work?
I do. Listeners, for reference, the office where I work, there are a lot of office supplies, and I sometimes dole them out. I'm not telling you whether or not there's pen caps.
Would the person that you would, if I went to the person you work with who also works in that office and said, "Can I have some pen caps?" Would he give them to me?
He'd look at you like you're crazy.
Exactly. All right.
But something I want to highlight in this scene, though, pulling back to it, is when he accidentally spills the coffee, Dylan immediately says, I bet you're drunk. Your breath smell like anything? Your breath tastes like anything when you come in? Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
Noteworthy. Like, Petey talked about episode one or two about how, beginning of episode two, I think, how you come in with that hurt and came in with those red eyes, and they always saw that in Mark when he came into work. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they also recognize the fact that he came in intoxicated sometimes. I mean, he clearly has a drinking problem.
Well, didn't Harmony ask him if he was hungover in episode one?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So there are instances of that, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job. You're at 1.5 out of 2 points. That is better than 50%.
That's better than I thought.
So yeah. That is enough for you to get the difficult.
Oh, great.
Of course not.
That's the whole quote.
That's the whole quote. Well, that's the quote you're getting.
How do you expect me to get this crap?
Of course not.
Oh my god, of course not. All right.
I think you could get this.
Okay.
I believe in you.
All right. Let's see here.
It's not as impossible as you think it is.
Oh.
Watch.
I think it's pretty impossible. Could Mark have said this to anybody? But I don't think he did. Was there a scene with Greener and Harmony in this? There was, right? Yeah.
There's a few. Okay. There's at least two, I think.
Really?
Yes, because early on he comes in to show the device, and then he comes in again near the end.
Oh, my goodness. Of course not. But there was going to be more to this quote that you're just not giving me. This is... All right. I don't think this is outside the office. I think it's inside the office. What have we already had? We've already had Helly talking to Miss Casey. We've already had Dylan talking to Mark. We've had like two quotes just right there around the cubicles.
The methodology here. You're going by character. Now we're going by location. Now we're going by what's the.
No, there's no method to this. I'm literally walking around with a blindfold on, trying to pin the town the donkey. I don't know. I don't want to waste time for the listeners.
I feel like you could get this. All right, give it your guess.
No chance. There's not a single chance. I'll say that that Harmony says it to Greener when she gets the chip back.
No, I'll give you the full quote now. That's completely wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Of course not. Nothing like that could happen here.
I still have no idea. I said really? Milchick said it.
Yeah, Milchick says it to Irving. Okay. When the copies are made and Irving finds them by mistake, you know, he's worried and he goes, this is what Optics Design did? Of course not. They didn't do that. Of course not. Nothing like that could happen here.
Okay, well, I'm gonna remember this one. You're gonna pay for this one.
Oh, this is like this armament. Listen, it can get worse, Mr. Sal. That was only one quote that was like that. It could be all three.
I don't know. That first one was pretty rough too.
I think it's because you haven't seen the episode in a while.
Look, any character on this show could have said, "Of course not," to any other character at some point in this episode.
Yep.
I could justify it for all of them.
I bet you Rickon would never say, "Of course not."
Oh, I bet he definitely would say, "Of course not." Definitely would. Like Mark said, "Well, did she get a spinal an epidural?" Of course not, Mark. We're none of that Western medicine in here. Kelp. We're hanging kelp. Kelp. Guarantee that I could come up with a scenario where any one of these characters would say, "Of course not," to pretty much any one of the other characters that they interact with. But I'll remember this. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. the pettiness of who said it continues on, and we move on to the recap. So we start off the episode with the sequence when Helly is getting up in the elevator and then back down. So for a moment, her Audi is hanging on the rope.
Yes. Which is key, because that's what she wants.
Yes.
She doesn't necessarily want to die. She wants to she wants her Audi to feel her die.
Yeah. to recognize that could die. And I don't think she's completely opposed to dying.
No, you're 100% right, but she's not going to like slit her throat. Yeah,
she doesn't
want
to die down there. Like, she wants her Audi to die up there. And she'll say it later in the episode. Yeah, she wants her Audi to die from her.
Right. Know that it was her.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The life drained from her and know it was from me.
Yep.
Mark is leaving for the workday. Mr. Grainger's running over to intercept the elevator, but he's not there in time. Mark sees the incident, tries to help out. They get Helly down. Grainger rushes to kind of clean up the elevator the best he can and tells Mark to get home. And this was pretty cool, right? When he goes up the elevator.
This is the coolest moment in the episode.
Dude, it's so cool. Yeah. The way he's like in utter fear and shock, and then he just has a neutral expression.
Absolutely. It's such a cool moment.
Horrific, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I almost picked this as my favorite scene just because of that moment. And this reminded me a lot of a scene in Culprits where one of the characters gets kidnapped and then realizes who his kidnappers are.
Yes, you're right. It's a different way of it, but yes, for like the mood changes immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. This was chilling. Like the frantic nature of it at the bottom of the elevator versus just the complete have a nice night when he gets to the top.
Yeah. He doesn't even think about it. We get the introduction. He comes back into work again, very nonchalant. Again, so neutral. And when he goes down the elevator, his face goes from neutrality right back into that fear shocked expression. And it's Harmony and Milchek waiting to speak with him.
Yep.
She's all right, Helly. No brain damage. She's in the hospital. Meanwhile, though.
But this happened on your watch, Marcus. Yes,
just now. You are the manager of the department or the department chair. This is on you.
Oof.
And she's still working here, too, which shocked Mark as well. Audi still wants her to work here.
Oof. Yeah, seriously. I mean, this Audi, this is why I'm really interested. Why does she want so badly to keep coming back to this place? Like, if she knows that, if she came into consciousness with a rope around her throat hanging from a ceiling. Why does she want to go back there?
The real reason you'd put a 5 quotes in Who Said It, or I did that last quote that was very hard. Spite, Mr. Sal. Spite. It's a little too much spite, though, I would agree.
I mean, I don't think, like, okay.
I'm joking. There's no way it's spite. I mean, that's your own life's at risk there. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You don't have any control once you're down there.
That's why any Helly is doing what she's doing, and I get that motivation. I want to understand the motivation of why Audi Helly keeps bringing her back into existence, knowing that at any moment she could take her life.
I 100% agree. Of all the characters, if I don't learn the motivation as to why Audi Helly, if I don't learn the motivations of Audi Helly, I will be very upset with season one. That's something that is like a required on the list.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because so much of the season has been, well, I shouldn't say so much, a good storyline, a big storyline for the season has been Helly's, you know, Helly coming into the workplace. And
I mean, really, I would say most of the energy in the office is focused on helping Helly adapt or
that's true.
Compensating for the fact that she hasn't or whatever.
That's true. Yeah, she's a real catalyst here.
Yeah.
So we get a time montage while she's recovering at the hospital and Mark's reading through Rickon's book. My favorite scene. We then get Mr. Grainger bringing back in Petey's chip. They checked it out, made copies. Harmony's right. He was unsevered. So Grainger is going to keep looking for the culprits. Like the series. That's in our back catalog. and once he finds them, she'll bring all this to the board. She also
including Helly.
Including Helly. She has not told them of Helly either. So probably, like a good news, bad news, good news sandwich type of thing.
I'm not sure where the good news is there.
Well, the good news is like this isn't all like this. Okay. it's a diversion because I'm assuming her department is not the one that makes this severed process, right? Like, she just manages the people that are severed. So if she can now do the blame game of, they're not severing people very well.
Right.
Like, that's the whole piece. So that whole PD thing, not really even my fault. They didn't even sever it right. Or, like, the sever process is flawed. Like, I guess not. You're right. It's not good news, really. But it's
I guess
it's good for blame. Her. Yes, it's good for her. So, and look at all the work they did. I figured out who did it. Bored. There's this problem, and I've kind of fixed it.
Yeah, fair enough. That would be the good news, I think, probably.
Personal-wise, Mark gets out of work, goes to the cabin because Devin is in labor. And Rickon's voicemails are also pretty funny. So
yes.
I like it when he thinks he's... Wait, one of the voicemails is, just in case any Mark has the phone, he's not sure if he does or not, so just to let him know, hey, for Audi Mark. I like when he's trying to outline which cabin or lodge it is. He goes, like, it's one of the more affordable ones.
Yeah. Rickon is great.
And so anyway, this is what should have been your favorite scene. He sees his former date, Alexa.
Yeah.
Kind of forgot you'd be there. I did too, to be honest. Did you see that too? I feel like this was the show jabbing at me directly. They said,
I mean, you watched the previously on, right?
I don't remember now.
Yeah, she was in the previously on saying, are you vetting me for your sister?
I did watch the previously on, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they reminded us in the previously.
Well, I didn't. I just, for whatever reason, I did not think that she'd be there for her birth.
All right.
But, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That's what her job literally is. That's how they met.
Yes.
Rickon cries over the soon-to-be baby. And, you know, it's a nice cabin, but the one next door is really nice.
Yes.
This is where, and you did this to start off the podcast, Rickon explains that they should divulge secrets to create a soul void. It clears the air and draws the baby out.
Yeah.
He starts by explaining that he's hurt, that Mark hasn't thanked him for the book he left him yet. And Mark says he never got the book. Maybe it was stolen off his front door. And this really concerns Rickon because it was a pre-run copy.
He's
worried now.
Shifts he magic mind. All of the stress to himself here. Like, I don't remember what exactly Devin says, but Mark says it. Devin has a contraction. Mark says, are you okay? And Rickon's like, yeah, I'll be all right. I just.
But Devin's okay. And she's going to go to the cabin next door to get some coffee.
Yeah.
And Rickon is going to hang some kelp. Do you really want him to explain? Devin goes over, has the coffee with the rich cabin. We talked about this in her magic mind moment. It's just in case we meet this character again. Her name's Gabby. This is
I think
kid.
We have to. Like, they made this like big point of showing somebody leave the cabin first.
They did, and they.
I'm very interested in who that is. Is it someone who works at Lumen?
No, that's fair.
It didn't look like anybody that we know, but man, I mean, they really hammered it home that, oh, she's noticing this person leave.
Yeah, whether it's like an employee or just a person that's part of the cabin. But Gabby's third kid, Devin's first.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin's annoyed by her husband and depressed by her brother right now.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Mark and Rickon are hanging kelp. And we learn the fact that he did not want the middle name of his niece to be named after his wife, Gemma. And you know what? I think he's saying it. I think he hasn't properly, you know, gone past his wife's death yet.
Right.
But, you know, honestly, his rationale is not. I understand his rationale. The kid doesn't deserve the baggage, in Mark's opinion. That's not a viewpoint I've really thought of when people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But. It makes, like, actually, that's fair. Okay.
If you don't want
the kid's middle name to be remembered because she passed, you know, every time it's said, all right. I've never thought of it that way, but
that's I think Rickon's right too. It would have been a nice tribute, but I think they're both right here. But since it's Mark's ex-wife, Mark's deceased wife, I think that it is important that Rickon honor that wish.
Dude, that'd be a jerk move.
I love Gemma more than you.
I knew Gemma as well, so. Devin returns back to the cabin. Rickon's fallen asleep. Maybe Mark and Alexa could have another shot. Devin thinks so. And Mark, speaking of divulging secrets, really wants to tell her something that, well, Lumen might be up to something, and even tries to talk about that businessman he saw outside of her house, Petey. But she starts to have more contractions and things get a little busy, and he can't finish his thought with her. So he goes outside, and the baby is delivered. But, well, I think the baby, is the baby actually delivered while he's outside?
I think we hear it crying.
Yeah. And he's in thought, and the phone in his basement is still ringing. Much like Wonder Pets.
How is that battery not dead?
I don't know. How long did flip phone batteries last back then?
I mean, not long enough to do a montage.
But we're not back then now. We're in the present. We got present day battery technology with analog. Surely a while.
I mean,
it's pretty simple.
Helly has gone into the hospital and come back to work in this time.
You're right, actually, that part of it. Pretty simple, but like, you know, no one's actively using it. It's just the only, I guess, but they do keep ringing it. Like, it is ringing a lot.
You know, I take that back. Helly has not come back to work yet. She's about to come back to work. So maybe it's only been like 3 days. Who knows? No, but there was a montage, though.
It was the montage. You are right. Montage is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 days in the hospital. I have no idea. We don't know. We get back to work, though. And Milchek tells Mark that this is Innie Helly's first time awakening since the incident. Make your eyes kind, Mark. So when Helly comes down, it's showtime, and Mark comforts her, especially with those kind eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of comedy in this episode.
No, it's funny.
Definitely funny. In the staff room, Mark tries to help Helly the way he can, you know, say, hey, you can't hurt yourself anymore now. Don't worry about that. I forget what else he says. Something else. But it's just not connecting. He's not saying the right things here. He's not really understanding her pain, I think. What he's saying is not working very well. And then we get to Miss Casey arriving, writing down what she sees from Helly. And Irving dozes off again. Again, Magic Mind-esque. And he goes off to O&D to seek Bert's counseling. He makes a copy of the map in case Mark or someone has to come find him later. When he goes to make a copy, Milchek's print, which we talked about earlier as well, the grim barbarity of optics and design. Surely. Is this real? I mean, Milchek's is just a joke for Harmony, but Dylan and Irving meet about it in like the supply closet. There's no way, right? Well, we do know that Bert's already lying. For example, he has more employees than what he stated. So, maybe they really did coup.
They did a coup.
Harmony. Oh, we see Harmony and Milchek talk, and they have a code number for this. Can't believe Milchek ran a 266 on Irving.
Yeah, but she admires the initiative.
She does. You know, make sure he reduces time he spends with Bert. And she's trying something new too, Miss Harmony, with Miss Casey following Helly. And
who's available for a hug, by the way?
Yeah, on request.
Yes.
After Harmony leaves, though, Milchek seems concerned, doesn't he?
Yes, for sure.
I wonder if he's scared that he's getting replaced in some way. Like, is this typically what he'd be doing? Or I'm not sure, but. He does look concerned afterward. Noteworthy.
I think he's. I took that as he's concerned that Harmony is going rogue here and breaking protocols.
Ah, that's fair too, because Mr. Grainer will point that out later as well. So that's actually, I think, more of a reason. We then get Mark spilling the coffee. Miss Casey goes to get a replacement, and Mark takes Helly to get some extra pen caps. While Miss Casey's walking, she passes Bert in the conference room, rehearsing something to himself, a joke we'll later learn. Mark takes Helly to an unused office sector, shares his recreation of Petey's map. They could do this together, but she's not really about this. You know, she ain't the new Petey.
This could be our map.
You didn't say it in a romantic way, though.
I know.
But she storms off. She's not happy about that. Yeah. But yeah, I know this is Mark trying to help. What he thinks would help.
Hallie,
but again, it's not connecting.
She's not his new PD. That's right.
Miss Casey returns, and Helu's gone. She's worried. So, you know, Irving says, you know, to go get pen caps. So she goes to leave, but tells Irving, hey, Bert's in the conference room, by the way. So Irving goes to chat up Bert.
Why do you think she tells Irving that Bert's in the conference room?
I don't know why. I'm very intrigued because she pauses, stops, and tells him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure we're ever going to learn.
Here's my guess, my speculation. She's very good at reading people. That's her job. And she's already read the fact that they like each other. Like just her, she's just super, like that's what she's dedicated in doing. So she knows based on their conversation from outside her office. She knows they like each other.
Okay.
From just a few words in the way they look at each other. That's what I'm saying. That's why.
Maybe.
And here's the second reason why. Maybe each department has their own conference room and he's in their conference room.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. So I like that better.
Well, you don't like the reptilian style brain Miss Casey can just tell when people like each other?
No, I don't all think right. She's that good at her job.
Oh. Well, in either case, Irving chats up Bert, but Dylan comes in with his belt and locks the door shut.
His belt.
He can't be trusting Bert. And Irving wants a manager right now. This is outrageous what's going on here. And we see that there are cameras watching everything going on.
Oh, yeah.
Ellie and Mark walk the halls. And she can't believe her Innie told her that she isn't a person. And her real, you know, what she wants to do is drain the life from her and for her to know that she did it to her.
Exactly.
That's what she wants to do.
Cold. And
they hear Lamb. We then get your favorite scene.
Yep.
Which is her and Dylan speaking with the captured Burr and learning that, hey, they're told bad things too about a macro data or environment, like that they have pouches.
Exactly.
Ellie and Mark find the Lamb room, but they are not ready yet. So they get out of there.
The goats aren't ready, not Mark and Helly.
He's milking the goats, not the way you're thinking.
Giving them milk. This seems like the worst severed job.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Baby goats are super cute.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Why do you think that's a bad job? Like, you get
that's a lot of baby goats. And they all want that milk, and they all want it now, and he's only got two hands.
And yeah, probably during feeding time, but they don't want the milk 24/7.
But also, I mean, perpetual isolation. He's alone in there.
Dude, that's all he knows.
I know that's all he knows. That's going to drive him crazy.
Maybe not. No, hey, there's certain things that, you know, I was curious, like, what do people derive? Like, if you never socialized with anyone, and that's the way you were, if you were the only human, but that's how the way you were brought up, would you really care if you didn't socialize? You know what I mean? Know. Like that. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's not quite that instance, but you know, he I'm presuming he's severed, right? So assuming
it seems severed, that way. Yeah,
you know, you're severed. You're put in there. You care for goats. You don't really talk to people very much. That's fine. I'm goat guy. Yeah, it is what it is.
Goat guy.
I don't even know my name. Just goat guy. But I wonder if this is the employee by the ski lodge. Well, not the employee, but the person out of the
ski lodge. I don't know.
Irving and Dylan take Bert back to O&D. His hands are tied, literally. But once they get back there, they release him from capture, and he shows Irving a painting. Meanwhile, Dylan looks through and finds what he thinks is the same painting, the grim barbarity of optics and design. But it's not the same painting. It's macro data refinement calamity.
That's right.
It's basically the same painting, but macro...
Different badges.
Different badges. Yeah. Ooh.
I do want to point out too that the painting that Bert shows to Irving is the courtship of Kier and Imogene, right?
Yes.
And he shows it to him specifically because Irving is concerned about having an office romance because the handbook says that you can't do that, office romances. But Bert shows him this because Kier had an office romance. That is exactly how he and his wife met. So yeah,
yes, you're very right, and you know, that yeah. And I love that. I love this aspect of him. Not only is there like a religion within this workplace, but it's you know, the different schools of thought within a religion, which is
very right. Realistic. Yeah, they're conflicting stories within that religion.
And not even like stories, but just the idea. You know what you derive from it, right? Like the written word versus what was done in it. So
yeah.
Afterward, Mark apologizes to Helly for everything she's going through. But he's doing the best he can right now, right? He's being sincere and honest. And she seems to appreciate it, right? And she even says, I'll clean up that map. I'll try to clean up that map for you.
Yeah.
And Miss Casey finds them. And she's happy, too, because they're safe. So she's glad. And everyone's happy.
She was scared.
She was scared.
Yes, everyone's happy. That's exactly how I would describe the series. Everybody's happy.
Well, at least in some brief moments, they're glad. And then the cameras have been watching this all along. Mr. Grainer asks Harmony if she's going to stop this, and she cites Kier basically saying, you know, a tamed prisoner is one that believes that they are free. So she's going to let this play out. And I don't know, Grainer warns, you know, you better be careful about them finding more departments. Upstairs won't like this. All right, Harmony she's willing to do it. I guess big risk, big reward. Maybe she's going for promotion or... she's going for a high risk play, it seems. And
exactly.
I think she says she'll talk to Mark. I forget if she
said that. Yes, but she'll also talk to Grainer about this. She basically dismisses him, says, I'll talk to you about this when you figure out who hacked Petey.
Yeah, figure that out.
So don't even talk to me until then.
Yeah, you got stuff going on too.
Yeah.
And the episode ends with Bert introducing Irving and Dylan to what is presumably the rest of O&D.
Yes.
It looks like Irving will thrive.
I hope so.
One can hope. But, Mr. Sal, let's see how the listeners... Not the listeners, actually. Maybe they're not listeners.
We don't know.
Maybe some listeners are part of this. There's got to be some crossover.
There has to be. We talk about it enough.
Let's see what the users of TV time felt about this episode. Ain't no time like a TV time.
Well, I already checked to see the 5-star rating. I haven't checked the character yet. So what do you think that the users gave this episode on a scale from 1 to 5?
5 5-star.
They did 71%.
People love it. The people love it. But the favorite character, ooh, this is a hard one because there's such like a.
It is.
And the default is
because
Mark,
they split because they split the cast. The default is Mark. I agree. The default is Mark.
But you're never so simple.
I think you said Irving.
I'm an Irving fan.
You are an Irving fan. I do think the people said Mark though. I'm gonna go with Mark.
The people said Mark. I think you said Mark. Well, why not?
I did say Mark as well because he's the only one that we know anything about outside the office, and we spent some time outside the office.
That's where you're incorrect, because my favorite character is Rickon for this episode.
Rickon is not a votable character, dude.
Darn. Then I'll go crap. Do I say Irving? Do I say Mark? Man, I really like Rickon.
I will tell you that the users of TV time said Mark, but only 58% said Mark.
That's fair. Whatever. I'll say Irving. Whatever. I'll go in line with that. I want to say Rickon. But
you can say Devin if you want. She's a votable character.
No, she's not as funny as Rickon. Like Rickon was just Rickon was a hoot and a holler.
Because Rickon's got the book.
And the book is pretty substantial.
I know it is. It is. So. Well, all right. So I was right. Yay, said Irving ultimately. Irving was second place, 24%.
He's an interesting guy as well.
Yeah.
Well, are we going to see them outside of these walls? That's the big question.
Oh, don't tease me.
Is it hourly? Well, maybe next week we will hide and seek. I don't really think that means anything.
That sounds a lot like they're running around the halls again. But
yeah, that seems a lot more in office speak than out of office speak. Time will tell. There's four episodes left. And here's something we do know going into this, Mr. Sal. The final episode of this season is a 9.7 on IMDb. It's a very highly rated finale.
That is nuts.
Which is at least a good sign, right, that people love the finale. Now, what I'm more intrigued by is that we've seen finales, think Dexter New Blood, Lost, that a lot of people don't like, and we liked it. And we actually loved them, and I'll die on that hill. Dexter New Blood and Lost have good finales. Check it out. We have both in our back catalog. We have entirety of Lost in our back catalog. Will we have a series where a lot of people love the finale? This is certainly a beloved finale, but will hate it.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, there's definitely conditionals. It very much is. There's stuff, I mean, especially with not showing the characters outside of it. You're more annoyed with it than I am, but there's definitely certain things. Like, I totally agree. If we don't see outside Helly by the end of the season, I don't think I'd give the final episode a 10. That would be a hard thing for me to do unless it was somehow really good in some other way. So
yeah. So I'm looking at the IMDb user ratings, and they're pretty consistently hovering around an 8 until we get to episode 7. 7 and 8 are 8.8 and 8.9 respectively, and then 9 is 9.7. So I don't know, man.
So we're keeping an episode on the gear. Then we're going to shift up a gear, and then we're going to fifth gear with the finale. Are we going to be racing at those speeds, Mr. Sal? Or are we going to go a little slower?
I don't know. I really don't.
And then people are going to have to pass us on the shoulder. And the analogy I made is broken apart because I don't really know why I'm saying that.
Well, we're driving in Massachusetts, apparently. People are passing us on the shoulder.
Does that happen in Massachusetts?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they just drive in the shoulder as though it's a lane.
I think it's unbelievable. Shade in Massachusetts.
Oh, everybody who doesn't live in Massachusetts throws shade at Massachusetts drivers. Folks, if you're from Massachusetts, I'm not sorry.
Email us. Yeah, listen, if you're from Massachusetts or you're not, you get a comment on that or the series or anything you want to say to me or Mr. Sal, email us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. We always appreciate it. I probably won't make it on this episode because probably by the time you're listening to this, we will have recorded all of Severance. So there's that. But, you know, there's still dialogue that can be said. And you can recommend us another series. I actually were covering Severance. A good reason why is we've been recommended it by multiple parties. You could also rate the podcast, review it. We really appreciate it. Sharing the podcast, friends, family, acquaintances, enemies, whomever, right?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with episode 6, Hide and Seek.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.